I saw the information that DHS had put out about, domestic extremists potentially attacking the power grid, and that they had some credible evidence to that. I don't think this is new with extremists attacking the power grid. We've seen cases for years now where they've done both left and right wing trying to disable power stations and cutting cables. I think what's really important and why probably DHS released this information now is because of what's going on with Russia and Ukraine. We've seen Russia conduct, massive cyber attacks globally, and they're really using Ukraine as an incubator to see whether or not it will work here. So having a tandem approach to the United States with physical forces for which Russia has influence over in the domestic extremist realm, as well as having, vast amount of cyber capabilities, is something that they would use to potentially threaten the United States.
So let's talk a minute about this group of domestic violent extremists that folks that may be loyal or sympathetic to Russia's concerns may have some sway with. Who are these people and how do they have that connection?
I wouldn't say that they would be necessarily sympathetic to Russia as much as they're sympathetic to the propaganda that Russia is perpetuating. Hmm. And I think in what we've seen now going on for several years is the disinformation campaign that Russia perpetuates on the United States. And if they can sow seeds of hate and discontent in the United States, then Russia wins.
So who are these groups? Do they have names or are they just loose-knit groups?
I think you have both, right? I think you have formalized domestic extremist organizations that may be digesting propaganda off of the internet. Some of them may not even realize that it's from Russia. Some of them may have relationships with actually Russian operatives and not even recognize that they're from Russia, in the sense of, training and education, what they call education. I would call it, consuming propaganda or disinformation. And then you'll have others that are disassociated, but believe something that is being perpetuated mostly in the social media, but also in open source and internet.
So you think this may have less to do with, based on what I was reading, white supremacist and right-wing extremist than it does with folks that are misguided, that may have capabilities and or may be associated with some of these people of these persuasions?
Well, I wouldn't say one or the other. I would say that the likelihood of a domestic terrorist organization, if it is a domestic terrorist organization, of being able to completely take down the U.S. power grid, is nil. Without some support of a nation state such as Russia. Mm-hmm. What we've seen from Russia is the ability to conduct massive attacks, whether that was Non-Petya, Colonial, the WannaCry, or frankly, the most recent, which is Whispergate, which happened in Ukraine. So I would say their massive cyber capability and a physical force here inside the United States is probably what Russia is thinking. I don't see an entity, a domestic terrorist organization, being able to take down the U.S. power grid, which has over 6,500 power plants and the likes. I think they could be disruptive in certain locales.
What kind of help could they get then from a nation state like Russia if they chose to do that? And how would they deliver that kind of help?
Well, I think there's a myriad of opportunities they could. I mean, we saw this in California maybe about 5 or 6 years ago, where there was automatic rifle fire at a power station that disabled it for weeks. We've seen cables get cut. So I would say that if you were going to step back and look strategically at what Russia would want to do and how they would view the U.S. support of Ukraine and the sanctions that are being proposed, and I think that's a calculus that Russia would have to decide on, and whether or not they're going to get caught, supporting, frankly, an insurgency inside the United States, no matter how successful, versus, a little bit of anonymity that cyber might protect them from the world stage. That's a calculus they would have to go. But it would have to be a massive domestic organization. And so I don't see that being likely. I do see it being tandem, a cyber breach coupled with some other kinetic action inside the United States, if in fact they decided to go down that road.
Well, Josh, I have to say, this is really significant what you're saying to me here, because I have seen significant reporting about this DHS bulletin and some of the language from it myself. And what you're saying here is, yeah, the right-wing extremists and white supremacist groups, and you threw in the left there too, have been doing this for a while. But what you think this is all about is not that. This is about Russia. And that, you know, is a very significant jump, I'm thinking, in terms of possible, you know, terrorist attacks here in the homeland. So how does the U.S. government and your former agency, the FBI, deal with this?
So, JJ, I'll be clear. I'm saying that it would make logical sense to me, knowing the relationships and the playbook and what's going on globally, that this could be what's happening. I don't know that. I'm saying that that would be logical to me based on historical information and what we already know. I would say that the information sharing amongst, you know, the domestic agencies and the intelligence community is key. I would say that, you know, when you're talking about Cyberman, NSA, CIA, DHS, CISA, the FBI, and making sure information is moving at the speed of technology, as has been successful for years in the counterterrorism, and this new view on what, you know, domestic extremism, which isn't really new, but come to the forefront, and really understanding what those relationships are on a global stage. I know CISA released a document about a week ago talking about the likelihood of Russia conducting a cyber attack, that the private sector and government agencies should be paying attention and making sure their systems and their CISOs and they are up to date and they've patched and they've moved to a defensive posture. And then also making sure, you know, with the information that is being shared amongst state and local law enforcement, the FBI, DHS, regarding the domestic extremism challenges and threats that we face, I think that information sharing is going to be key in stopping some of these attacks.
Is there anything that the average public citizen can do in this situation?
The average public citizen can absolutely do something. I mean, I think that they, as we saw in the investigation post the horrific incident on January 6th on the Capitol, you had a ton of public tips that came into the FBI. I would say that that still is applicable. If you are seeing activity or looking at alarming activity for individuals in and around your community, you should report that to the police, to the FBI. And I would say that just on the simple hygiene terms of an individual, you know, user in your home computer, you know, I would say that making sure that all of your systems are up to date would be applicable. I would say that there's a lot of information out there on how to make sure that your system is secure. It's a lot to digest, but I don't think that we can just choose to ignore this problem as a society. And I do think that, you know, this Russia's in potential invasion of Ukraine could present a significant cyber challenge for the U.S.
Joshua School is a former FBI Executive Assistant Director for Intelligence, now president of security firm Bowave. The full conversation at WTOP.com. Search National Security. JJ Green, WTOP News.